Second Chronicles, the 15th chapter. Second Chronicles 15, beginning at the first verse. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, Yahweh is with you, while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto Yahweh, God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. In those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor him to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of Yahweh that was before the porch of Yahweh. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them, out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that Yahweh his God was with him. At 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 9. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful to be here today. We're thankful for the rain. We know that you bless us in many ways. In ways, in fact, many times we do not deserve. We do pray now that you would be with us in this study, that we might be encouraged to seek you while you may be found, and to call upon you when you are near. Bless those who are needy, we pray in his name. Amen. There is a text in Romans, 8th chapter, 31st verse, that says, If God be for us, who can be against us? And I'd like to kind of expand on that theme today. If God be for us, who can be against us? That this is a wonderful promise. It is, however, as we will notice when we get into the study, that is a two-sided coin. That just as it said in the scripture lesson that we read, he'll be found of us, he'll bless us, but if we leave him and turn against him, he will turn against us. So it is something to think about. But the Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want to talk a little bit about some examples of God's people who triumph through his help. And I think of Abraham and Lot. You remember that Lot was when Abraham's shepherds and herdsmen and Lot's shepherds and herdsmen began to fuss over wells and over territories, that Abraham came up with a solution. He said, You take the ground you want. If you take the mountains, I'll take the plain. If you take the plain, I'll take the mountains. And of course, we know that Lot chose the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. He lived there. And finally, in the 14th chapter of Genesis, it talks about the kings of the Vale coming down, and they took the cities, and they took Lot captive, and they took all their goods. So Abraham raised an army of his own servants, and he went and fought with the kings. and defeated the kings. And so he rescued Lot, got back all of their substance. In fact, when you go into this, you find out that he was met by Melchizedek. And this is where we have the story of Melchizedek in this story of the rescue of Lot. Melchizedek was a king priest of Jerusalem. And Abraham took the tithes of all that he had gained in this battle with the kings of the Vale and gave them to this priest king Melchizedek. And as a result, we know that they were greatly blessed. And in fact, the 20th verse says, "Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies." This is Melchizedek speaking. "Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he gave Melchizedek tithes of all. So the thing we're trying to point out here, of course, in this is that examples of God's people who triumphed with God's help. And here, if God be for us, who can be against us? As it said in Romans. So here we have Abraham with his own hired servants actually rescuing Lot and defeating the kings of the Vale. By the way, in the New Testament it says when he returned from the slaughter of the kings, it makes it sound real bad. It doesn't say he slaughtered anybody, but he defeated them. And there were more than one way to defeat somebody besides slaughtering them. We have one of the outstanding examples. We talked about it not too long ago, and that was the Israel in the wilderness. I don't know whether you've noticed this week that some scientist has come up and said Moses didn't part the sea, that a wind came from the east and parted the sea so that Israel could go over on the dry ground. But there are a lot of mistakes in that, because we know that according to the scriptures that there was a wall of water on the right and left, and when Moses used his staff and put it out again, then the walls of water came together and drowned the Egyptians, which, if it was just as a wind, natural wind that just blew and dried out the marshlands, this just wouldn't answer it. We believe Cecil B. DeMille pictured it more correctly in the Ten Commandments than these scientists. So they, the way God took care of Israel, in fact, I was reading an article this week, and it was talking about how small the camp was in many people's minds. But this person went on even so far when Moses actually taxed the people, they were to give a half shekel per person, and when he added it up, it came to 603,550, just like it says of the fighting age males that left Egypt coming to the wilderness. And taking demographics, figuring the average size family, and the fact that most of these men had wives, it came to about 2.5 million people in the wilderness. It was a huge camp. And just the logistics of feeding that many people, providing water for that many people, would be an absolute miracle. And we know that God did it. And he did provide quail, he provided manna, he provided water. And then later, as they were about to enter into the promised land, he actually went before them, and they defeated the kings as they came in. We think of a miracle in which God helped them would be the siege of Jericho. Under Joshua, remember that Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. A lot of people who believe in typology, believe that the reason for that was that Moses was law, and Moses' law could not lead the people into the promised land. It took Joshua, Yehoshua, Jesus to lead the people into the promised land. So they, a lot of people see typology in that, but that could be okay too. But as you all remember, they went around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they went around the city seven times. And when they got around it, they blew trumpets and shouted, and the walls fell down. And actually, the Jericho has been excavated, and there is archaeological evidence that this is what happened, that the walls fell down. In fact, they found grain still in pots and everything from the walls falling on them. The children of Israel obeyed, but later on we know that as they were coming in, they came to the Ai, and we're going to talk about that a little bit because that's a negative side of the coin. The positive side of the coin is, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. If you seek Him, He will be for you. And if you leave Him, He will leave you. Israel at the Red Sea, I already mentioned. Another outstanding example is the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And we all remember that Goliath was huge. He was between 8 and 9 feet tall. And children of Israel all afraid of him. The armies were afraid of him. But there was young David, selected sling stones and took his sling with him and went out and met him. And, of course, Goliath taunted him and said, "You're going to send out this little kid to fight me, the greatest warrior in the Philistine army?" And we all know that David slung a stone, hit him in the forehead, killed him, cut off his head. And God was with him because he was with God. The scripture last we read to you from 2 Chronicles 15 is the story of Asa. And so it actually... Well, Asa was one of the good kings. If you go back in the history of Israel, it's good king, blessing, bad king, cursing. And then another come along, another good king, and he'll convert them and bring them back to God. God will bless them. Then they go on a ways, and they turn bad, and they get cursed, go into captivity, and they cry, and God delivers them again. It's over and over. But under Asa, that we read about in 2 Chronicles, he went against the Ethiopians, and it is the belief of all the commentators that these Ethiopians are not the Ethiopians we think of down in Ethiopia in Africa, but these were Arabs, and that they were Cushite Arabs. And so anyway, through God's help and Asa's righteousness, they were defeated in the 14th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And especially there, the 11th through the 15th verses. Asa cried unto Yahweh his God and said, "Yahweh, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Yahweh our God, for we rest on thee. In thy name we go against this multitude. O Yahweh, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." So Yahweh smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And then goes on and talks about them fleeing after them and spoiling them. And so they could not recover themselves. So it was through God's blessing that Asa depended on him, and he helped them in defeating these enemies. I go on and think of other examples that you can think of too, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being cast into the fiery furnace, the story in the book of Daniel, how that they trusted in God and he delivered them. We remember the story of Daniel, who was forbidden to pray in public, and he did anyway, and was thrown into a den of lions. And God shut the lions' mouths. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't want Daniel to die, but he had to keep his word. So he was thrown in there, but he was delivered. So it's over and over again, there are examples, and even in the New Testament, there are examples of this deliverance and this blessing. Whenever I think of someone who suffered for the Lord, I think of the Apostle Paul. He was a convert to Christianity from Judaism, and the Jews hated him and tried to kill him and did all kinds of things to him. And in the 11th chapter, when he was talking about his life, he recounted some of these things, beginning there at the 18th verse, 2 Corinthians 11. He said, seeing there are many glory after the flesh, I glory also. And ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, man exalt himself, and so forth. Then he's talking about it by himself. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. A lot of times this killed people if they were lashed 40 times. But he said, 5 times I did this, where they gave 40 and left off the one. He said, thrice was I beaten with rods. 3 times was I beaten rod. Once I was stoned. He was stoned and left for dead. Three times I suffered shipwreck. And night and day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness, painfulness, watchings often, and hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And he went on to say that if these other glory, I could do. And so as a result, he's not doing this to brag, but he's doing this, saying this to encourage. And that's what I do. I bring out the story of Paul to encourage. I think the story of the shipwreck, the one that's recorded, there are two that are not recorded, but the one that's recorded in the last chapter of the book of Acts is really wonderful. It talks about how they were... They tried to save the ship. It was a storm, and they tried to save the ship, and they put the anchors out and everything, but they were still driven ashore. But Paul, through revelation, revealed that not a single person would die in that shipwreck, and they weren't. They all made it to shore. So he was saved that time, and then later on, they were warming themselves by the fire, and a poisonous snake came out of the fire and bit him on the hand. Fastened itself to his hand, and they all expected him to die, and he didn't. And so as a result, many of them were convinced of Christ by that particular activity. But he went through these many things, and he said over and over that it's in weakness that I am made strong. And by all these things, God is glorified, and that's what he was trying to do with his life, was to glorify people, or to glorify God, rather, among the people. Another time in the story of Paul and Silas, remember they were arrested for preaching, and they were thrown in prison. And it talks about how they were, it was Paul and Silas, and they were thrown in prison, and they were singing and praying in the middle of the night, and an earthquake came and opened the prison doors. And this is the story where the Philippian jailer thought they had escaped and he was about to commit suicide. But Paul and Silas kept him from it, and he was baptized. He and his family were baptized and became Christians as a result of it. So there are many, many different examples of God blessing or being on the part of those who sought Him. And so we're encouraged by those examples. But as we read in 2 Chronicles 15, He'll be with you while you're with Him. That's the positive. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Yahweh is with you while ye be with Him. If ye seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. So it's a two-sided coin. All these blessings came to people because they were seeking Him and were in His will, and therefore He blessed them. Isaiah 55, the 6th and 7th verses, "Seek ye Yahweh while He may be found." This is a wonderful blessing that can come to us, but we are to seek Him while He may be found. That's the 55th chapter, and there at the 6th and 7th verses. "Seek ye Yahweh while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." That's the positive, but then it goes on with admonitions. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." We don't read that one as much as we do the next verse, the 8th verse. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh." I use that to show that within us is this temptation, physical, this mental temptation and straying from the Lord. It's not an outside influence. It's in our minds. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not God's ways. Our natural ways, our natural thoughts are not Him. But so He is saying, seek ye Yahweh while He may be found, call on Him while He is near. But if you're wicked, forsake your way. And if you're unrighteous, forsake your thoughts. You have to be accepted of Him. In Hebrews 13, there's a very interesting verse about forsaking one's ways, or rather, God not forsaking us, I should say. And I've read it many times, and I think it's wonderful, the 13th chapter. And there at the 5th verse. "Let your conversation or way of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I love the diaglot on this. It's a bunch of negatives. No, I will not leave thee. No, no, I will not forsake thee. Sometimes there's nothing more positive than negative. In other words, no, 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 I will not leave you nor forsake you. So That makes it more positive than ever. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. No, I will not leave thee. No, no, I will not forsake thee. There's another text that's very reassuring, and this was in the book of Romans, the eighth chapter. We're talking about those blessing texts that where he's promised to be with us and to bless us. But how in all these there are some possibilities of negatives. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I do not want to add to the Word of God, but the other side of the coin is we can separate ourselves. There is no outside influence, no outside power that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. We can separate ourselves. That's the dangerous part, that nobody or nothing can separate us, but we ourselves can. I think through the years, in my ministry, I've been blessed more than I've been cursed. I've had more joys than sorrows. But one of the sorrows through the years is to see people turning back and not serving the Lord anymore. I think that's extremely sorrowful, and it's dangerous, because the scriptures, you get over there in Matthew 24, it says over and over, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It's not those who start on the journey, it's those who actually go through all the way on the journey and finish it. So this is the thing that we're trying to present here, that if God be for us, who can be against us? We can hurt ourselves. He's going to bless us. He's going to help us while we're with him. But if we forsake him, he will forsake us. I love that text in the 28th of Matthew, where Jesus, it was in the last hours, you might say, of him being with his disciples, that he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. It is true that Yahweh is with us, but we have to be with him. If we seek him, he will be found of us. If we forsake him, he will forsake us. So we are admonished and encouraged to seek God while he may be found and while we have life and breath. Thank you for your time.